नमः प्रणवाताय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पाद्भुतविग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमीड्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि। यथाग्नेर्दायिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिता हिया सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां शारदां प्रणमाम्यहं। प्रपन्नपारिजाताय श्रोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुके नमः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। भगवान कृष्ण इज टीचिंग आत्मविद्या टू अर्जुन। सिंस भगवान फाउंड दैट द कॉज ऑफ डिल्यूशन विद रिगार्ड टू धर्म एंड अधर्म इज नॉट ड्यू टू इग्नोरेंस ऑफ धर्म एंड अधर्म बट ड्यू टू attachment. Since the cause for the violation of dharmic life is agyan or attachment, Bhagavan started teaching Atma Vidya to Arjuna. In the last class we saw Bhagavan told Panditaha na anushochanti, Atma Jnaninaha na anushochanti. People with wisdom, people who have self-knowledge, don't have any reason for grief. Therefore, indirectly, Bhagavan instructed Arjuna to know about the self, to know about the reality of the self. By Vedanta Vichara, we are going to know about the immortality about ourselves. We are not going to know something which is not, we don't know already. We know that we are existing, but we don't know that we are existing as an infinite entity. We know that we are existing as a finite entity, son or daughter of so-and-so, father or mother of so-and-so, wife or husband of so-and-so. With regard to our body only, our identification is there. We know we exist as finite entity, but we don't know we exist as infinite entity. By Vedanta Vichara, we are not going to convert our body as immortal. By Vedanta Vichara, we are not going to convert our body as immortal. Body is mortal only, body is subject to Jara and Maranam. But in spite of having mortal body, I can be immortal by recognition of the fact that I am different from body. So by Vedanta Vichara, I recognize that I am the infinite entity which is different from my body, which is not part of my body, which is not the product of the body. I am the Aprameya Vastu. To know this, that I am different from body, Vedanta Shastra gives one technique that is called Drik Drishya Vivekaha. The seer of the body is different from the body. The seer of the donkey is different from donkey, fortunately, isn't it? Seer of the dog is different from dog. Similarly, seer of the body is different from the body. With this technique, with this method, we can know that we are eternally separate entity from all the things which is existing in the world. Experiencer is different from the experienced thing. Subject is always different from the object. The seer is always different from the seen things. If we use this method, we can recognize that we are different from the entire external world, because all the things in the world, external world, we are able to see or perceive. Seeing means here perception through all the five sense organs. And with the same technique, we can know that we are certainly different from our own body. That is why I can say that my body has put up weight. My body, when it comes, it is possessive, na? So my body means not I. Then whenever I say my mind is agitated, that means mind also is an object of experience. Whenever I say that I am angry, that means I am able to know that my mind is angry. Therefore only I can say that I am angry. By this technique, Vedanta Shastra wants us to understand that we are different from all the external finite things in the world. Body is included in the world. In the following 19 shlokas, shloka number 12 to 30, Bhagavan is going to reveal the real nature of the Atman. What is the real nature of the Atman? In essence, we will see there are 7 important unique things about Atman, that is consciousness. One is, consciousness is aprameyaha. Consciousness means I minus body and mind. Consciousness is aprameyaha. It is not the object of experience. It is ever the subject. Ever the experiencer, never the experienced. There is no need to prove that I exist. There is a need to prove that this mic exists. Mic doesn't know that it is existing. Table doesn't know it is existing. There is a need of separate entity, a conscious entity, to prove that a mic is existing. But as far as my existence is concerned, there is no need for any other proof. In a photograph, you can see all the faces. Except one person's face, the photographer's face is not available in the photograph, isn't it? Or if you say it is automatic camera, I will say camera is not available in the photo. Camera doesn't need to prove its existence. The very fact photo is existing, that shows that camera should have existed. So there is no need to prove my existence, though I am not available for any experience. I, the consciousness, is not available for any experience. Entire external world is available for experience, but I, the consciousness, is not available for experience. There is a 10th man story in our Vedantic tradition. 10 people went to picnic. The leader, every time whenever he crosses one river to another river, he makes sure that whether all the people have crossed. So after crossing the river, he started counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All the time he is ending up with only 9. So he thought 10th man is drowned in the river. So they all started crying. Everybody started counting 1, 2, 3, 4, like that up to 9 they have counted. 10th man is the person who is counting. So he has left himself. It is taken for granted to leave ourselves in anything. So like that he has left himself in counting. So they started thinking that if one person is missing, so they started crying. Some third man has to come there, and here he told that the person who is counting is the 10th man. Similarly, there is a need of a guru in our life to find out, to say that whatever you are seeking in your life, the infinitude, freedom from all limitations, it is nothing but your own real nature. Therefore, Atma is aprameyaha. Though I am never in the picture of my experience. Suppose if you take entire experience in our life as a picture, as a photo, though I am not available in that photo, but still I am ever existing entity. ஃபர்ஸ்ட் யூனிக்னஸ் இஸ் ஆத்மா அப்ரமேயா. எவ்ரி அதர் திங் இன் தி வேர்ல்ட் இஸ் பிரமேயா, தட் இஸ் கால்ட் பிரமேய. பிரமேயம் இஸ் ஆப்ஜெக்ட் ஆஃப் எக்ஸ்பீரியன்ஸ். எக்ஸப்ட் தி எக்ஸ்பீரியன்சர் எவ்ரி அதர் திங் இன் த வேர்ல்ட் இஸ் பிரமேய வஸ்து. செகண்ட் நேச்சர் ஆஃப் ஆத்மா இஸ் ஆத்மா நித்யா, தட் இஸ் மோர் டீட்டெயில் வி ஆர் கோயிங் டு சி ஆஃப்டர்வர்ட்ஸ். ஜஸ்ட் ஐ எம் சம்மரைசிங் த என்டையர் வேதாந்திக் டீச்சிங். இட் இஸ் ஏ philosophical approach of the Bhagavan to give a solution for Arjuna's delusion. That solution is going to remove two types of problems. One is immediate problem. Immediate problem of Arjuna is what? He has a confusion with regard to dharma and adharma, whether I have to fight against my elders or not. Second thing is, every time whenever this type of situation arises, he may be end up with confusion. So unless this அஜ்ஞான ஆத்மா அஜ்ஞானா இஸ் ரிமூவ்ட், திஸ் கன்ஃபியூஷன் இஸ் கோயிங் டு கம் சப்ஜெக்ட் டு அரைவ் அகெயின் அண்ட் அகெயின். தேர் ஃபோர் பகவான் கீப்பிங் தீஸ் டூ வியூஸ் இன் இஸ் மைண்ட், இஸ் அப்ரோச்சிங் த சப்ஜெக்ட் த சொல்யூஷன் ஃப்ரம் தி ஃபிலசாபிக்கல் ஹையஸ்ட் ஸ்டாண்ட் பாயிண்ட், ஃபிலசாபிக்கல் ஸ்டாண்ட் பாயிண்ட். செகண்ட் ஸ்டாண்ட் பாயிண்ட் இஸ் கோயிங் டு டீல் இஸ் எத்திக்கல் ஸ்டாண்ட் பாயிண்ட். தேர்ட் பாயிண்ட் இஸ் கோயிங் டு டீல் இஸ் வேர்ல்ட்லி ஸ்டாண்ட் பாயிண்ட். நவு நெக்ஸ்ட் 19 ஸ்லோகாஸ் இஸ் கோயிங் டு பி ஹையஸ்ட் ஃபிலசாபிக்கல் ஸ்டாண்ட் பாயிண்ட். In that, Atma's reality, real nature of Atma is explained. One is Aprameya Vastu, Atma Aprameya Vastu. Second one is Atma Nityaha, eternal. That means it is not bound by time. Nityaha means eternal, means there is no limitation with regard to time. It is timeless. Kala Paricheta Rakitaha. Third one is Nirvikaraha. It is changeless. All the time I think that I am born, I am growing, I am becoming old, I am going to die. All these are all changes. And these changes actually happen with regard to my body and mind. But due to ignorance, I say that I am old, I am going to die. But I, the consciousness, is in fact, it is changeless. Shat vikara rahitaha. There are six Vikaras are there, six modifications: asti, jayate, vardate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, vinashyati. But Atma is nirvikaraha. Fourth one, Atma is sarvagataha. It is all-pervasive entity. It is not bound by limitations of the body. Like in the example, light is not bound by the shape of the body. Body is revealed, body is known due to the presence of the light, but light is not bound by the shape of the body. Outside the body also there is a light. Outside the body also there is a space, like space. Atma is an all-pervasive entity. By revealing this fact, Bhagavan is going to negate that desha paricheta rakitaha. Atma is desha paricheta rakitaha. If when it is told it is nityaha, it is kala paricheta rakitaha, limitations with regard to time. When it is told as sarvagataha, it is desha paricheta rakitaha, it is not limited by space. Then fifth one is atma is akarta. Atma is a non-doer. There is no doership in atma. Consciousness cannot do any action. Whenever we have problems in our mind, if you analyze this thought process, it will say, you have done this, you have done that, you have done this, you have done that, you should not have done this, you should have done that. Like that, all the time our mind is blaming that we are the doer, we are the sinner, we are the punyavan, papi. Like that, all the time mind is telling that I am the doer. Here Bhagavan is revealing, you, the consciousness, cannot do any action. What is the logic? Because sarvagatatvat, you are already all-pervasive entity. All-pervasive entity cannot do any action. Action means what? Movement. Action means movement. An all-pervasive entity cannot move. Therefore, you, the consciousness, cannot do any work. Like space cannot do any action, similarly, you, the consciousness, also cannot do any action. Since you are not the doer, Since you, the consciousness, is not the doer, you are abhokta. Abhokta means, bhokta means a person who receives the result of his actions, whether it is papa or punya. Any action produces two types of results, either in the form of papa or in the form of punya, either in the form of sukha or in the form of dukkha. Since you are not the doer at all, you are not going to be an enjoyer also. All our worries are with regard to this only, whether I will get it or not, with regard to future, anxiety. Anxiety in the form of what? Karma phala. Anxiety in the form of result for my own actions. And with regard to past, guilt in the form of, again, karma phala which I have experienced. So since you are an akarta, you are not a doer, you are not going to be an enjoyer also. Therefore, there is no question of suffering for you in the future or at present also. Doer alone reaps fruits. Doer alone, suppose I do some action, that result of that action I only get. If this niyama is not there, somebody will eat, my stomach should fill. Or I should eat, my father's stomach should fill. Whoever eats, his stomach only is going to be filled. So doer alone is going to be a reaper of its action. Since you are not the doer, since you are akarta, you are going to be abhokta, or you are abhokta, not going to be. At present also, you are abhokta. Then, seventh point is, atma is asangaha. What does it mean, asangaha? Though light is intimately pervading my body, the smell of the body doesn't affect the light. Though space is intimately pervades the many things, many objects in the world, the doshas, that is all the unwanted things, cannot affect the space. Similarly, you, the consciousness, is asangaha, like a screen in cinema theater. Before starting the cinema, screen is there, white screen, clean screen will be there. So they have shown a big terrorist attack film, a film with a lot of terrorist attack. So many people, or World War II, they have shown, full of blood. After finishing the cinema, nobody washes the screen. Why? Screen is asangaha. Screen is asangaha. Similarly, consciousness is so intimately connected with the happenings of the world, but still it is asangaha. How can it keep itself as an asanga vastu? How screen can keep itself without contaminated by the thing happening? Because both are different state of realities. Screen is one state of reality. The chitra, that is fill, is another state of reality. Isn't it? So one cannot affect the another. Similarly, atma is satya vastu. It is a nitya vastu, therefore it is a satya vastu. Entire world, including my body, is anitya vastu, therefore it is mithya. This word is generally understood in a very confusing manner. Real meaning of mithya we will come to know afterwards. Here, just this much you understand, entire world is a mere appearance. What is the base for all this appearance? I, the consciousness. The appearance cannot affect the base. Film cannot affect screen. Happenings in my life cannot affect me. When this knowledge is received in your mind, when this knowledge is a fact, that mind is free from all fears, that mind is free from all limitations. In spite of physical limitations, in spite of mental limitations, still he will say, those are all the attributes of the body mind complex, I have nothing to do. By revealing the real nature of atma, Bhagavan tries to remove Arjuna's confusion. This solution from the paramarthika drishti. This drishti is very very subtlest one, very very sukshma, therefore it requires a sharp mind. Hey Arjuna, you the Atma can never do any action. You the Atma, now Arjuna's problem is, I am going to kill Bhishma. Killing is an action. So he thinks that by killing Bhishma, I am going to reach Papa. Here Bhagavan says, from the philosophical angle, from the paramarthika drishti, you the Atma can never do any action. Bhishma the Atma also cannot be a victim of any action. Atma is neither the doer nor the enjoyer. You the Atma can never do any action since you are akarta. Bhishma the Atma, because there is no two Atmas. Your Atma is different, Bhishma, no, only one Atma, one consciousness is there, like one space. Bhishma the Atma can never be an experiencer, can never be killed. Then this view is very nice. All criminals can take this view. Terrorists can say, I the Atma don't kill anybody. People the Atma are not at all killed by me. Because these are all possible. Any mind, impure mind can interpret, it's called devil quoting the scripture. So any devil can quote this scripture, I the Atma, so I am not doing any action. I am going to kill 1,000 people. Those people also who are killed are not actually killed, all are mithya. Like that people, anti-social elements can take this philosophy. So it may disturb the society, it may disturb the ethical fabric of society. Here, Vedanta has proper answer for this. Suppose a person says like this in a court. Oh judge, I accept that I have killed. But I say actually, in fact, I am the consciousness, cannot do any action. So my body only killed. And they also not killed at all. From the paramarthika drishti, they also not killed. Only their body is killed. So what will be the judges, if judge is intelligent, what he will do? He will tell, I am not going to hang you. I am not going to give capital punishment to you, the Atma. Because nobody killed the Atma. I am going to give capital punishment to your body only. Isn't it? Sri Ramakrishna's gospel, there is a story. A person was having a beautiful garden, vegetable garden and flower garden. A cow entered there. This fellow got angry, so he simply bit the cow. Cow died. Gohati dosha it is called. If you kill a cow, you will get a gohati dosha. Killing a cow is very very heinous sin. Immediately that dosha in the form of a sin, it has approached that fellow. Then that fellow told, no, don't approach me. I have not done. My hands only have done that. My hands only killed the cow. So I am not responsible for it. My hands work, Adhishthana Devata is Indra. For hands, Adhishthana Devata is Indra. So Indra is responsible for that. I am not responsible like that. He refused to accept that sin. So that sin in the form of a dosha, it went and approached Indra. Like this fellow is telling, what should I do? Indra came in the form of one visitor. He visited that garden, seeing that garden and started praising that gardener, the person who killed the cow. So he told, oh, what a beautiful garden it is, how nicely it is planned, how nicely it is done, very nice, lot of fruits and flowers are coming. So this man started claiming that I am the cause for this. So the person, visitor, Indra, told, your workers seem to be very methodical and they are very sincere, it seems. Therefore only you got all this benefit. Then the gardener told, hopeless workers. They are not cause for this. I am the cause. I only planned. I only planted the plants. And I only taking care of that sincerely. Therefore I did like that. Immediately the Indra told, oh, all these things you have done, but killing the cow you have not done, isn't it? Like that. So half portion only you cannot claim. If you claim, you have to claim entire thing. If you claim that you are not a doer, you should claim that you are not an enjoyer also. That is why anybody can talk about Vedanta. Hiranyakashipu also talks about Vedanta, you know. Hiranyakashipu, in Bhagavatam it comes. Hiranyakashipu's younger brother Hiranyaksha was killed by Bhagavan Vishnu. Mother Diti was crying. In order to pacify her, Hiranyakashipu says, Atma is Nityaha, Atma is Ajaha. Ajaha means unborn. Nobody can kill anybody. It is an eternal entity. Like that, go on, he gives one lecture. Then finally he ends that lecture. Such an Atma is killed by Vishnu. Here logical problem will be there. Bhagavatam, it points out how human mind, in ignorant mind, is logically very weak. When I say Atma is never born, when I say Atma is never going to die, where is the question of death of my brother? But Hiranyakashipu ends his talk like that. Therefore, revenge has to be taken against Vishnu. So anybody can talk Vedanta, but what is the benefit of that? Mere talking will not do. It must be a fact in my life. It must be a fact in my life. When it can be a fact in my life? When it is understood properly and thoroughly. When it is digested as a fact. Now, what is the fact in our life? That I am human being with so and so gender. That is the fact. At present, what is the factual knowledge about ourselves? At present, though it is erroneous one, what we think as a fact is, I am human being with so and so gender. All our other thought process are based on this one particular conviction called, I am human being. I never mistake myself as a donkey or a dog. I never have a love when I see a donkey goes in the street. I don't love donkey. I don't love cow. Why? Because in my subconscious mind, it is there as a strong conviction that I am human being with particular gender. This conviction should be proved as an error. This conviction should be proved as an error, and a proper knowledge that I am all pervasive consciousness should enter. Vedanta says, you cannot escape from papa and punya as long as you have not digested this wisdom. So Atma Drishti, by gaining Atma Drishti, you cannot do anything unethical also. Here the question is, unethical people can misuse this philosophical viewpoint. It is misguiding the society. We say Atma Drishti cannot make anyone to be unethical. Say for example, a scientist knows that there is no sunrise. We just hear and believe, that's all. We have never verified whether sunrise is there or not. For all practical purpose, we have understood daily sunrise is coming, daily sunset goes, that's all. But a scientist thoroughly goes through that procedure and really understands that there is no phenomenon called sunrise. Today he has received that knowledge and it has become a fact in his life. Next day, whether he will get up early in the morning or not, he will get up early in the morning. Knowledge cannot contradict any action. That means Atma Drishti is an additional knowledge, additional to the knowledge revealed by sense organs. My sense organs reveal certain things, but knowledge, Atma Drishti, is with regard to substance of the things which is revealed. So it doesn't contradict the knowledge revealed by sense organ. Though my mind knows that there is no phenomenon called sunrise, still my eyes show daily that there is a phenomenon called sunrise. Seeing the sunrise, if I am a scientist, seeing the sunrise, I happily claim that there is no sunrise. Sunrise happens in one particular state. That is, at the experiential state. It is an appearance. All appearance need not be a fact. This is the knowledge. It is an additional knowledge. Therefore, Atma Drishti cannot contradict ethical life. It is Atma Drishti, just a shift in the vision. A child sees an elephant which is made up of wood. As far as child is concerned, its mind is very immature. Its mind is very immature. It is carried away by the form of the statue. And when it cries, father comes. His father is a carpenter. So he is the knower of wood. So he says, this is not elephant, this is wood. This is wood only. A shift. Object is not changed there. Vision, a shift in my vision makes me be free from all sufferings. That is a shift from Deha Buddhi to Atma Buddhi. Shift from Deha Abhimana to Atma Abhimana. While having Atma Abhimana also, this Deha is going to live. For all Jnanis, Jnanis are all having Atma Abhimana all the time. But still, they don't mistake idli for the sake of plate. They take only idli only. When they take tiffin, is Atma Jnani. Everything is Brahman. Everything is Brahman means idli is Brahman, plate also is Brahman. So instead of taking idli, he should have taken plate. He doesn't do that mistake. He knows this Atma Jnanam is an additional knowledge. Knowledge of the about the substance of the thing. That substance is only one, and that is universal. Only one thing it is, all pervasive. That I myself. So with this knowledge, nobody can violate ethics. By this knowledge, when he is not going to be a doer of good action, when he doesn't claim that I am the doer of good action, how can he do bad actions? Sri Ramakrishna in his gospel, he says, an expert dancer can never put a wrong step. A jnani is an expert dancer. In dancing, he is expert. So he cannot put any wrong step. Here, jnana cannot make anybody as unethical. Atma jnani can never be unethical. Bhagavan in this 12th shloka,
natve vaham jatu nasam natvam neme janadhipah na chaivana bhavishyamaha sarve vayamadaparam.
In this shloka, Bhagavan reveals nityatvam. 7 points we saw. Atma aprameyaha, atma nityaha, atma nirvikaraha, sarvagataha, akarta, abhokta, asangaha. In that, one point is revealed in this shloka, that is, atma is nityaha. Nityaha means what? It exists at all the three periods of time. Atma exists in the past, in the present, and in the future. What is our opinion about ourselves? I was not there before 100 years, I am not going to be there after 100 years, I am existing now. That is the idea about ourselves. Na? Here Bhagavan says, you are existing all the three periods of time. So Bhagavan wants to say that you, the consciousness, you, the Atma, is an ever-existing entity without any time limitation. He could have told you existed in the past, you existed in the present, you existed in the future also. But generally Krishna is famous for his mischief. So in teaching also he is doing some mischief. What he says, hey Arjuna, you cannot say that you did not exist. Directly he could have told Arjuna you existed. Here also double negative he puts. Either one point is because of his mischief. Second thing is, when you put a double negative, the point becomes very strong. Here he says, aham na asam iti na. You cannot say that I did not exist in the past. That means what? Double negative. You cannot say that I did not exist in the past means I existed in the past. Na asam iti na. Tvam na asam iti na. Ime janadhipaha na asam iti na. That means you cannot say that I did not exist in the past, that you did not exist in the past, that these kings did not exist in the past. So negation of absence in the past means what? Presence in the past. Now he is going to tell presence in the future also. Again he puts a double negative. Vayam sarve atah param nacha eva bhavishyamaha iti na. You cannot say that we will not be there in the future. These are all Upanishadic language. Because rishis, they are in contemplative mood. When they receive some knowledge, they are like a code words they have told. Unless bhashyas and other interpretation is there, it is very difficult for us to understand. Showing that this is a very very subtlest topic in the entire world. Understanding myself is the most difficult thing in the entire world. So here Bhagavan says, in future also we are going to exist. You cannot say that we will not be there in the future. We will exist certainly in the future also. What about present? Existence in the present is evident, therefore he did not deal that. Nobody says naham asmi iti na kachit na veda. Naham asmi, I am not existing. This is it in quotation. I am not existing. Nobody can know like this. That means what? You are existing. Atma is eternal. That means kala paricheda rahitaha. Before birth there is no body. After death there is no body. Still atma is existing. But you can say, I am not able to see that. I am not able to perceive that. Here Bhagavan says atma is avyakta swarupa. First itself we have told it is aprameya vastu. It is ever the experiencer, never the experienced. It is a always existing. When body is available with this atma, when body is associated with the consciousness, you see transactions happening in your life. When body is not there, there is no transaction. Like a person who comes to drama theater. In drama theater there will be two rooms, green rooms they call. Two rooms they generally keep. Green room it is called. All the people are in green room generally before the beginning of the drama. Suddenly he comes, plays one role, same person goes back, again changes his vesha, then again he comes. When he disappears from the audience, do you mean to say that he is entirely disappeared? No, he is in the green room. So birth and death mean arrival of body and departure of body, not arrival of myself and departure of myself. What is my idea about myself? Now I am going to die. That means I am going to depart. That is why everybody has marana bhaya. Marana bhaya is the highest bhaya in our Vairagya Shatakam. Bhartruhari says, sarvam vastu bhayanvitam bhuvi nirnam vairagyam eva abhayam. Everything in the world, everything in the life smeared with bhaya. In that bhaya, marana bhaya is the highest one. Now the question comes, how can he establish that you are free from death? How can he establish? Here Bhagavan told, you the consciousness are free from birth and death. How you can establish this particular idea? Bhagavan tries to explain next shloka. Dehi nosmin yatha dehi kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehantara praptihi dhiras tatra namuhyati. Atma is free from death. That is the contention of Bhagavan. That is the contention. Atma means not a separate thing. So don't imagine, please. Whether you understand other thing or not, all other philosophical things, whether you understand or not, only one thing you understand, Atma is equal to I. At least that much you hold it. Atma is nothing but I myself. Then after this question come, I myself, if Atma, why I am having a problem from my wife, adala problem amala barutte. So we will tell you, when we say you or I, you minus your body. We say, where is the question of wife? for all pervasive entity. There is no voice for all pervasive entity. You are all pervasive. Those things we are going to reveal afterwards. Atma should not be in third person. Apnoti sarvam iti atma. One definition. All pervasive thing is called atma. Atma is equal to I. Here Bhagavan said, you are free from death. How can you establish this point? And body is subject to death. He told, you are not going to kill, your body is going to do that. Bhishma is not going to be killed, Bhishma's body is going to be killed. So body is having death. But you don't have death. How can you establish this point? Body has six modifications. One is asti, jayate, vardhate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, nashyati. Asti means it existed in the causal form. Out of nothing can come. Out of shunya, nothing can come. So when body comes means it comes from somethingness. What it is? If you take, it is in a causal form. Ajnana we call. Karana sharira we call. That existed in the causal form. This body existed in causal form. And this body got birth. Jayate. Then vardhate. Then vardhate. It is growing. Then viparinamate. It is getting modification. Vardhate means childhood. In childhood you see, the fellow will be growing, 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 growing. Afterward, viparinamate, that means youthhood. In youthhood, after 25 years, there is no growth, but there are modifications. Mustache comes, mental modification and other physical modification comes. Then after 45, what happens? Teeth shows that I exist, knee shows that I exist, you have to take care of me, leg shows that I exist, you have to take care of me. Apakshiyati it is called. Degrading. Then finally we put him in the photograph, birth, so and so date, death, so and so date. So all these six modifications are there with regard to body. Here Bhagavan is going to prove that you are different from body, you are different from modifications of the body. How he is going to prove is, he takes three modifications out of six. Because before birth, whether body existed or not, I don't know. After death, whether body is going to exist or not, that also I don't know. So in between I know. I know that I was a child and I became a youth, had lot of problems. Now I became a middle-aged man, now I am having lot of problems. This much only we remember. We were children, we know, we remember that. That is why 60-year-old man also showing his childhood photo to his grandchild, he says, hey, who is he? Grandchild could not identify. So he wants that grandchild should identify, because he thinks that grandchild is very intelligent than me. So he tries to point out that I am existing in that photo. But this man now don't have any teeth. That time a boyhood, 7-year-old or 8-year-old photo it is. When he could not recognize, when grandchild could not recognize, that old man says, I am that. So your body changed, all your thinking patterns changed, it has come from childhood state to youthhood state, and now it is in old age, but still I, the factor called I, is not changing at all. According to science also, every moment body is getting changed. And according to scripture, every 7 years, entire body changes. Every 7 years, all his thought patterns change. All his physical things are changing. But I existed as child. I existed as youth. I am existing as an old man. In all these three statements, I is a common factor. I was child, I was a youth, I am an old man. So child, youth, old man, three states, I, one knower. How is it possible? If your body Your childhood body has gone. Now you should tell that I am youth, or you should tell that I am old. That much only you can say. You cannot say I was a child, I was that particular child, I was that particular youth. You cannot say. The very fact you existed in the past shows that you can recollect the things happened in the past also. Asmin dehe yatha dehinaha. In the shloka it comes. Dehinosmin yatha dehe. Asmin dehe dehinaha. The cell exists, which is existing in the deha. Kaumaram yavanam jara is independent of boyhood, youthhood and old age. By the word kaumaram, Bhagavan negates the modification called vardhate. Kumara bhava means it is growing state. Yavana means viparinamade, change happens. And jara means apakshiyate. In spite of these changes, you continue to exist as the same person. Then only you can say, I was this particular child, I was that particular youth. Due to death of Kumara Bhava, due to death of childhood, youthhood has come. When youthhood comes, childhood goes away. When childhood is going, you have not died. Still, you are existing. So you don't get death while the childhood dies. You don't get a new birth while youthhood is born. Tatha dehantara prapti. As you are the same existing entity with regard to these middle modifications, vardhate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, you are going to be a same existing entity in regard to last modification called death also. Tatha dehantara prapti. Dehantara prapti means death, not affected by antima vikara called nashyati. Tatra, tatra means evam sati. When the fact is being so, dhiraha na mukhyati. Bhagavan has qualified the person dhiraha. Only a dhiraha can understand this. Only a person who has understood is called a dhiraha. A buddhiman, a sharp man, a person who has a purity, who has vairagya, he only can see the changes happening in the body as an objective experience with regard to a wise man. Wise man will not have confusion that I am the body, I am going to be killed or going to die. Dhiraha na mukhyati. That means panditaha na mukhyati. Wise man never has this confusion. These things happen with regard to my body. Since I am not at all connected with my body, I am not at all affected the happening, whatever happens in the with regard to body. Very difficult, but Shastra says repeatedly you hear this. Because repeatedly Janma Janmantra we have been told that we are Deha. Last class I pointed out, even a cow knows that it is body. Cow, Adhyasa Bhashya example I quoted last class. You take a grass in one hand, take a stick in another hand. If cow sees the grass, it comes near you. If it sees the stick, it goes away from you. So these two actions, not because of its thinking power, it is very very instinctive. Why it happens? Since it thinks that I am the body, since it thinks that that particular grass is the source of my happiness. By eating that grass, I am going to get satisfaction, I am going to fulfill my hunger. Since it thinks that I am the body, it comes near the grass. When it sees the stick, immediately it runs away from you. Why? Because it thinks that I am body, the stick is going to hurt me. This idea, deha abhimana, is there in every individual. Mula avidya we call it. With that treasure only you have come. Now the entire process of spiritual life is just shake that idea. am I is body. That is the entire spiritual journey. Even though we don't understand, Shastra and Acharya say, you go on, hear those ideas. When Swami Vivekananda was teaching these ideas to Western people, they never heard all these ideas that you are different from your body. So they started telling, Swamiji, you are hypnotizing us. If I ask where is the consciousness, you say you cannot see that consciousness. And there is no proof that that consciousness exists in terms of experience. Still you are telling consciousness is there, consciousness, it is like a hypnotizing. So Swamiji told, I am not hypnotizing, I am de-hypnotizing you. You are already hypnotized. You are already hypnotized by your Deha Abhimana. I am de-hypnotizing you. I am trying to remove all your hypnotism. When Bhagavan told, hey Arjuna, you are Atma, Bhishma also is Atma in fact. Neither you are going to be a killer, nor Bhishma is going to be killed. Therefore, come out from the delusion and fight. When Bhagavan told this, Arjuna may have one particular view. I don't know what Atma is at all, and I have no problem with regard to Atma also. All my problem is not because of Atma Nasha or Atma Utpatti. My problem is with regard to Anatma Nasha. Let it be Bhishma, Atma, let it be. But I am bothered about Bhishma's body. I am not bothered about Bhishma's Atma. I am bothered about Bhishma's body. My problem is Sukha Vyoga Nimittau Dukkha Sanyoga Nimittaha Cha Shokaha. When Sukha is going from me, I have trouble. When Dukkha comes to me, I am in trouble. So Sukha and Dukkha is not certainly for Atma. I accept Krishna, I accept that Atma doesn't have any Sukha or Dukkha. But body is having Sukha and Dukkha. So I don't have any problem with regard to Atma's Nasha or Utpatti, Atma's Sukha or Dukkha. I am bothered about Anatma's Nasha only. Why? I should kill Bhishma's Anatma. So there Bhagavan is going to tell, with regard to body also you cannot have worry. Because Anatma is Anitya Vastu. It is going to perish. It is going to be destroyed. By the very nature it is going to be destroyed. So with regard to destruction of Anatma, with regard to destruction of body also, you cannot have any grief. So he says, Matra sparshastu kaunteya sitoshna sukha dukkataha agamapayino nityaha samsidikshasva bharata. Just as Atma is Nitya Vastu. Atma is a Nitya Vastu. Atma doesn't have birth, Atma doesn't have death. Similarly, you should understand and accept the nature of Anatma is Anityam. Both facts you should understand. I, the Atma, is Nitya Vastu. World, including this body, the Anatma, is Anitya Vastu. Wisdom consists in accepting the facts, the nature of a thing. What do you mean by fact? That is the nature of a thing. What do you mean by nature? Heat is the nature of fire. Can you imagine a cold fire? You cannot imagine a cold fire. Similarly, you cannot imagine a permanent body. Body means impermanent. The nature of the body is impermanency. As heat is the nature of fire, so the impermanency is the nature of body. What we cannot change is called its nature. An intelligent person never wastes his energy and time in changing the nature of things, because it is a nature. What is the meaning of nature? Why we say don't struggle to change nature because it cannot be changed. That which cannot be changed is called its nature. Since it is a fact of that particular entity, you should not struggle to change that nature of a thing. You, the consciousness, is Nitya Vastu, therefore you need not struggle to make it as a Nitya Vastu. You, the body, is Anitya Vastu, therefore you cannot struggle to make it as a Nitya Vastu. More details of this topic we will see in the next class. Another maybe 5 classes or 6 classes, you have to be patient. Gita starts with a high philosophical angle, afterwards it goes little other angle, but we have to hear those words, at least words. And in Gita Mahatmyam it is told, a person who hears entire Gita without any understanding, one thing is guaranteed. What it is? Place in Indra Loka is guaranteed. Anybody wants to book ticket in heaven, at least for that sake, because I cannot expect sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikari viveka vairagya samadhi shatka sampati mumukshutvam, tomorrow itself I should reach the Lord. That type of audience is very very rare. Once in a century people come like that. Still Shastra has to be studied, Shastra has to be preached. For what purpose? Slowly these type of samskaras will be created, these type of samskaras. All the time our entire thought process is, if you analyze, entire thought process is just for the feeding of body and mind, nothing else. Whether you study, whether you go for employment, whether you struggle, whether you try to adjust with people, all for what? For a comfortable physical and mental living, nothing else. So that mind should be taken away from that pit called Deha Abhimana. It is a pit, it is a kupa, well. No water is there, there is no sukha in that well. But still, I have fallen in that well. I should be taken away. Whenever I get scorpion sting, I cry, ayayo, scorpion is stinging. When a guru or somebody comes and gives a hand, come out, then he says, it is nice that this scorpion sting is nice. So that idea, the strong attachment to physical and strong attachment with other physics. I have strong attachment to my physique, my body, and I have strong attachment to other bodies also. At least at the understanding level, if it enters, slowly we can come out from that Deha Abhimana Samskara. For that reason only, even though we don't understand, we have to attend this Shastra Vichara and it will help us. Some people are maybe interested in going heaven or having a, what you call, music party with Indra and Ramba, Urvashi. For that also Shastra, Gita Mahatmya, I am not joking, Gita Mahatmya says, a person who hears, even if doesn't understand, he gets all these punya lokas. That is the idea. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmane Pranada Kleshanashaya Govindaya Namo Namaha.